goes to explain what they did, but they did not do that. They did not grab up the roof. You could argue.
Okay, look, here's all the questions that we've asked you. What is legitimacy? What is the proper design of an institution, given that it has to work? As for Olympic, yes, I agree with you completely that one core similarity between ICANN and NSI is that they have valued property over speech. For example, if I wanted to do an Olympic bombing, which was a hate watch site, I think it would be an obviously legitimate use of the word Olympic. So, yes, I agree with you, and that's why we're having this conference, and I hope that some of the answers come out.
Let me add one more thing. I think one of the reasons NSI may be so protective is that it was sued. It had about 40 suits last year. You know, it is in the business of being in court again. So the way to protect yourself is to write, is to say sorry. No.
First comment to you about roots. You're establishing a new brand, you're establishing a new product. You've always got to fight for shelf space. You're going to have to undergo marketing. It's going to cost you money to establish yourself. Cost of getting into business. Don't expect it to be free. The second thing is, in the ICANN umbrella of its three functions, IP, address allocation, protocol parameters, and DNS, we've all been tending to focus on DNS, but I would suggest to everyone that the lurking large issue is IP address allocation. That's where the long-term structural impact and economic ramifications are going to be the largest, and yet we're discussing that the least, possibly because it's probably the most arcane of all the subjects underneath ICANN. But my question is really getting back to ICANN itself. Now, there's a non-trivial possibility I will be one of the first elected people to the ICANN board, so this is something that concerns me a lot. How does one distinguish policy, which has to be held in an open meeting, from doing, from operational things? What are the characteristics and attributes that distinguish those two?
My love, you're quite right. I'll know it when I see. But I think there is a gray area, sure. But if you are doing something that was done for a long time and it is more or less repetitious and automatic and affects and you can see the result. I mean, you turn the knob and it goes to 2. So you know that would be the doing. Yes, but if you, and less discretion, all of these things together. But if you come with something new, yes, and affecting a lot of people, you'd better err on the side of policy and open it up.
So one should start off with being open on virtually everything and then close things as experience dictates?
Well, I understand that ICANN does manage some things that John Postel has been doing as a matter of course for a long time. If I'm wrong, please correct me.
Yeah, they're paying IANA's fees to register the IETF protocol parameters.
Okay. Then these are not the things that should be open.
Good afternoon. My name is Eric Mingy. I'm Assistant Chief Counsel for Telecommunications at the United States Small Business Administration. I am here today because I'm very interested in this. We've been following ICANN now for about 6 months and have been commenting both at the Berlin and Santiago meetings. I was particularly struck by something that Professor Kant brought up, which was the tension between the property and the speech interest. Now, I was wondering, is speech interest large enough? Or what we are looking at is maybe a tension between the property, which I have often found tends to be intellectual property, the trademark interest, versus the non-trademark interest. I represent a lot of small companies, a lot of small businesses that are starting to move towards the Internet that do not have trademarks. And what they're finding a lot of times is that they are facing trademark companies with large lawyer staff that can take them off the Internet by simply contesting the domain name. Now, with the speech, you are talking about that the speech interest should receive some sort of protection, or at least that was my understanding from what you were saying. Now, I was wondering, just opening up the board, what sort of other interests should receive some sort of protection? Should it receive any protection? And what level of protection should it be other than intellectual property?
How do you balance a conflict of rights? And right now, it is clear that the proposals are too far to one side. It's clear that, as you said, small businesses can be taken off the internet. And people say, well, you know, it's speech, it's from undergraduates' right to rant. But you, no doubt, know far better than I that actually sometimes it's a business that wants to be built on this domain name. I cannot, and I don't think any of us can give you an absolute answer to that.
Well,
but it's certain that the balance is tilted in one way, and it should be tilted back the other. And I think I tried to use Working Woman as an example where what someone thought would obviously be an open, common phrase is then removed by very powerful lawyers because it's just a startup.
Does anyone else want to comment? I'd love to hear your comments. I guess it's looking at this.
Our test will not have much more time, so we get we're running over. We've got a late start, but maybe in about 5 minutes maximum. Maybe Tony, you pose the last question. Carl, would that be okay if we hold up? Okay, then Tony, your question, and then we'll.
The cookies are very good, by the way. Tony Rutkowski. I was pointing out, by the way, on the issue of registering famous names or protected names, we're actually standing at about 10 or 12 registrars at .com, heading towards 80. And in fact, Rich Foreman is over there, and I posed the same question to him, whether he had registered some variant of Olympic, and he indicated that his policy was not to do so. So this is not the world is no longer NSI-centric. I think we've passed that. But my question, which I'll actually like to pose to each panel throughout this occasion, is a fairly simple one. What happens if ICANN ceases to exist tomorrow?
Wait a minute, Tony. I asked you that question last night.
My answer will be in my session for me, but then each of you get a chance in this sense of democracy.
If I can ceases to exist tomorrow because NSI does the issues of resolution and dispute resolution that have to take NSI and make it no longer for profit and turn it into ICANN or put something else that's like ICANN over it because it definitely does not have legitimacy. So I think if ICANN ceased to exist tomorrow, we would come up with another set of letters that will probably be harder to pronounce and start on the process again, because the core issues that ICANN and that we are discussing here are not going to go away if the institution goes away.
And I'll venture two possible scenarios. I'm on this microphone. One would be stasis, and the other one would be fragmentation. And this is sort of a either people would say, whoa, with ICANN's out of business, what's going on? Well, one thing that's clear is we shouldn't be pushing forward and innovating until we sort this out. So let's freeze the frame and return to process issues and kind of hold on to things, possibly under the guardianship of the federal government. Another one would be what a de facto competitive solution emerges. You lose the coordination abilities, and people kind of start doing their own thing. And, of course, you've got the bogeyman of the fragmented net and those kinds of things. But you could have a situation where individual players or groups of them pursue their own strategies, go their own way, and you end up with a de facto competitive fee.
Could ICANN partially go away? Could we split into three groups, or could one of these three functions it covers not be covered? Like, for example, do we need an ICANN over DNS, or do we need an ICANN over protocol parameters?
I
one of the things I didn't say is that I was hoping that ICANN will encourage its own demise, or at least substantial part of its own demise, by encouraging new technology or new structure. And what you are posing is, what if it happens? I think that you're right. There should be an adjustment, but they can adjust. They should adjust.
Great, thanks. So we're gonna take a break, wolf down some cookies or some leftover pizza, and we'll be back on in 15 minutes.